Great.
Yeah.
Good. I want to carry on with our study on the baptism and gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I feel is very important in today's society for believers. For me, I don't believe it all comes from here. You know, the fivefold ministry in the church is there for equipping of the saints. Who's a saint? Hallelujah. Anybody, any saints in church? They're not stained glass windows, right? You know, they're not statues. They are real people. Paul writes in Ephesus and he starts off and he says what? To the saints in Ephesus. I know when we're in Romania and they are very religious in their ways, the moment you say to them, are you a saint? They go, oh, no, not me. Well, I am. And they go, oh. Yeah, it's like blasphemy to them initially. And then you have to point them to the Word of God. And Paul says to the saints who are in Ephesus, is he talking to dead people? That's pointless, isn't it? Like having a congregation of cardboard cutouts and just, you know, saying to the saints, you know, nobody answers back. And so for me, the presence and the power of God should reside, that anointing, the Christ, the anointed one, resides in each and every one of us. Amen? Do you agree? Good, I'm glad I've got one or two that agree. The Christ resides, the Anointed One resides in each and every one of us. And do you know something? He's wanting to get out. He's wanting to get out and touch and change people's lives. You see, your life was changed from the fact of a touch of the Lord Jesus. Was it not? I know mine was. I know that for me today, if Christ had not got hold of me, and you know, people say, oh, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. You weren't even looking for Him. He found you. Glory to God. Be honest about it. None of us went looking for Jesus. Oh, where's Jesus? I wonder where He is. We were all going in the opposite direction, weren't we? And then one day we had an encounter. And He found us. He found Zacchaeus. He was up a tree. He found him. Oh, Zacchaeus was just trying to get a look. But Jesus found where he was hiding. You know, the Christ that is in us now today wants to get out and touch and change the lives of men and women that you and I come into contact with every day. The other day I went to the Chinese restaurant again at lunchtime, and we were a little late sort of getting there, we were a little late sort of coming out. It's late afternoon, there's nobody in this restaurant. It's great to sit and chat and you can talk, there's no loud music, you can share with one another and talk. We've been a couple of times, haven't we? And we were having a great time in there with Dharma, pastor friend of ours. And on the way out, I think it must have been the owner. We've not seen him before. And he suddenly stopped and started talking to us. He's Chinese, obviously. And he starts telling us about he'd been to China and been on a trip to Taiwan and been up to these mountains, to these temples and everything. He was going on about this holiday, and I'm thinking, okay, you've had your say. Now it's going to be my turn. So I waited. And I waited, and I waited until I had that opportunity. I said, we do missions work in church. I said, we're very much involved in church life and Christians. And I said, we went out to Romania the other year. I said, and there was a lady there, 65 years old. I told him the story about Anna, who was born deaf, and therefore she was dumb. And that 2 years ago, she came up to me and said, you pray for my hearing. God. And I went, oh, that's a big one, isn't it? No, it's not a big one. God is just the same. Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not changing, he says. you've got to change. You have to move your position. And so I thought, I am going to give him the gospel before I leave here. I am not going to just leave listening to the stories of Buddha's temples, etc. You know, but I'm leaving you with something else. And you know, I said to everybody, you know, when somebody's on the checkout, you get through the checkout till it's faster, you know, you start talking about Jesus to them. You know, it's faster. Get rid of this crazy person. You sow the seeds because within you is a divine power of life. And it is resident within you. The Christ. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, we've been working on through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was given. He says the disciples, they prayed. And it says, and then the Holy Spirit came in power to empower them. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just simply for speaking in tongues, which is good. It is good to speak in tongues and to edify yourself. It is good for spiritual warfare. It is good to pray in tongues when you don't know what to pray. You say, I'm going to storm heaven. I'm going to get into the throne room and I'm going to speak to my Heavenly Father. But I don't know what to say. There's so much in my life. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to communicate with Father God. And so we are to be filled with the Spirit. That in being filled with the Spirit, at the same time we start to become empowered. You see, the disciples, when they were filled with the Spirit, Jesus said, wait, stay until you are filled with power. Is that right? Did he say till you were speaking in tongues? He said, till you are filled with power. So for every one of us that has been baptized and speaks in tongues, you've been filled with power. Amen? He's resident within you right now. Some of us have put a cork on him. Got him, you know. Just keep him there. I've got the Holy Spirit, yeah. What are you going to do with him? I've got him locked up inside here. It's okay, you know. Because not the Word of God says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Take the cap off.
Yeah.
Does not the Word of God say stir up?
Yeah.
I can be a good stirrer, me, you know. Stir up. Stir up that which is in you. Stir up the gift, the power, and the presence of God which is in you. Release it, because that is what is going to change the society that we live in today. That is the only thing. They tried all their various programs. The support program for this, the support program for that, the food banks. You know, we're all getting in programs. Where's God in all of these programs? Oh, we prayed about it. We run Teen Challenge, Doncaster. If we cannot share Jesus, there is no point in us doing it. I'm not going to be there to dole out sandwiches and drinks if I can't talk about my faith and about my Lord Jesus Christ. Because then it's a program and anybody in the world can do that. We, the church, have a commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And we can only do that through the residing power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that is flowing through us in our lives. Amen? How many of you prayed for somebody who was sick and they've been healed? Hallelujah. It's a great feeling, isn't it? I remember one time there was two girls came to church, and we'll get to the message eventually. Two girls came to church and they were One weighed 5.5 stone. The other one was in a wheelchair for 3 years. And part of their disease, they were ME. That was it. Thank you. My prompter. They had ME. One of the girls was in a wheelchair. Been bedridden for 3 years. I just started to pray for her. She stood up. The Lord said to me, keep praying. I pray with my eyes open. Watch and pray, it says. Right? Watch and pray. Watch what's going on. When you're in deliverance ministry, you've got to watch when arms start flinging, swinging. I once prayed for a girl with some needing deliverance. I can still remember it. She gave me a slap. Whoa! That was the last time I prayed with my eyes closed after that. I forget it, you know. I learnt my lesson quick. Whoa, okay, devil, you're in for a fight. You know, come on. But this girl, as I was watching and praying, she stood up there and also she starts doing this, moving her legs up and down. Because I didn't know that she'd been bedridden for 3 years. I don't really ask too many questions. We try and listen to the Spirit of God. She's doing this. And the next thing, she starts to walk around the front of the church and the Lord said, stay with her. So here we are, we're wandering around church like that. I'm just praying with her. You know, it's like, it's a bit stupid, doesn't it? You know, but you know, God says, stay with her. Stay with her. You know, and here we go. And finally, she quits and sits down. Like, so we carry on and pray for somebody else. After service, I was packing my stuff away and then suddenly said, they disappeared. And then somebody came and said, do you know? She was bedridden. She hadn't been out of bed for 3 years. She can't walk. I'm like, wow. I went home walking about this high off the ground. You know, my feet did not touch the floor. I'm like, I'm high, you know, now. I've had better drugs than you've ever had, mate. You know, I mean, I'm like, whoa. This is, you know, drug addicts want to come to Jesus because I tell you what, you can get the strongest high and in the morning you can still remember everything that went on, you know, I mean, like, yeah, come on Lord, bring us some more on, give me another dose for that, whatever it was. I think it was about 10 weeks later she came to the Bible study and I just was looking through the window, I saw this girl come skipping down the driveway and I thought, who's that? I didn't even recognize her. She bounced into the place and suddenly realized who it was. I'm like, oh, what happened to you? Jesus healed me. Amen. 15 years later, she's still healed. Yeah. The doctors said she would never, ever work again. She works. She has a job. She does what she wants. And we're still in contact. Great thing, Facebook at times, you meet up with people you've lost contact with for years. And to hear the story that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the healer. And you know, we are the contact point of Jesus. We need to be out there with our friends that we meet, the people that you meet, the strangers in the street. You have something. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Release it. And for me, I see that the fivefold ministry is about equipping the saints for their work in the ministry. I remember a statement that Billy Graham made many years ago to ministers at a crusade that we were preparing in Sheffield. And he said, you know, he said, if one person was to win one person to Christ every year, within 10 years, the whole world would be saved. What about that for a fact? One person, if you were to win one person, every Christian now, one person every year, within less than 10 years, the whole world will be saved. That's a challenging thing. You know we can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that is resident within us. He's there to teach, to guide, and to reveal and open the Word to us. And so for me, what I desire And I believe the Lord desires, He desires that the church of Jesus Christ will begin to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, for me, it doesn't all come from the platform. I'll come, I'll stir you up, I'll encourage. But having done that, I want to see that from that, you go on and do the results, or do the results here. That was, you know, people are going to start coming in here with great needs. We've had them already. You know, people that we've never met before, and suddenly while I'm preaching, suddenly God sort of reveals something about them, and I just go, Lord, sends me straight to them. Begin to speak into their lives. And I remember recently one girl that Daniel brought, and she said afterwards, how did he know all of that? I didn't even know her name, never seen her before. This is what God wants to do. God wants to use you. It is not just for me. We did this teaching in Romania, didn't we? Six of us went out to Romania, and was it six, seven? Six of us, yeah. Went out to Romania ministering this last year. And we were asked to minister when we got there on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Wow. And you know, were being filled with the Holy Spirit. People began to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And we saw such a sweetness of the presence of the Holy Spirit coming over young. There was young boys, and they were weeping before God. Nobody prayed, nobody touched them. No, there was no emotion. The presence, the tangible presence and the reality of God was there. We didn't have smoke machines and flashing lights and the place blacked out. The only flashing light I want to see is the flashing lights around the throne room. The very presence of a living God. The only smoke I want to see is that smoke which is around the throne of God. Read Revelation. Don't mimic something. Let's have the truth and let's have a reality. I don't want fake, I want real. Amen? When you go buying your clothes, you don't go and buy a fake Gucci. You'd like to buy the real thing, wouldn't you? You know? You guys, when you go out and you buy a car, you don't want to buy a fake Volvo or a Mercedes. You want the real thing. How much more does not the world today want the real thing? And the real thing is Jesus, and we need to present Jesus. We need to move. Every one of us needs to begin to be moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the best place to start is to start in church.
Amen.
It's a safe place. You can do it here, and you can make mistakes. I missed it. That's all right. At least you got out of the boat. You know, most of the disciples, when Peter was coming back with Jesus, said, see that, he missed it. Told him not to get out of that boat. Told him he was going to sink. How many of you have heard that message preached about Peter getting out of the boat and everybody majors on his sinking? Well, guess what? It says he walked back to the boat with Jesus. Come on. Yeah, he started to sink, but suddenly it's like Jesus grabs hold of him and says, come on. Lifts him up and he begins to walk back. Yeah, I can do this, guys. Yeah. Everybody else might be saying, you're going down. Don't listen to what everybody else, listen to this presence, listen to the word, listen to the Spirit of God. And let that begin to work in your life. Because it's there to change your destiny. It is there that you might touch people's lives and change the destiny of hundreds of thousands of men and women who are going to a lost eternity. Going to an eternal damnation. And the Spirit of God was sent so that you could go and rescue those which are burning. Those which are dying in sickness and in sin and disease. And Jesus came and sent His Holy Spirit to empower you that you might do the work of the kingdom of God. That you might do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you might be the Christ to that person that is in need. What does Christ mean? Christ means, simply means anointed one. That's all you want. We are the anointed one. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. Are we anointed today? Filled with the Spirit. Anointed for service. Some of us have a title. As far as God's concerned, it's not about your title. It's about your availability. It is about, are you willing? Are you prepared to risk it? You prepared to step out the boat? Talk to somebody about Jesus. Yeah, but they might laugh at me. It's alright. They laughed at Jesus. They scoffed at Jesus. The other day I sort of related food banks to a similar situation with the Lord Jesus, in that he said to them, you've only come back because I fed you last time. You haven't come back for the real thing. What you've come for is another meal. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing it, but hey, he did say to them, you only come because I fed you last time. They hadn't come to find God. They hadn't come to find a Saviour. They hadn't come to find peace. Their bellies were rumbling. And they just wanted feeding. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow, the bellies will be rumbling tomorrow. But if they find Jesus, find Jesus. I've been journeying this journey now for 50 years. Oh, sorry, it's a bit longer than that, slightly, isn't it? Yeah. Just suddenly ran the age back slightly less, you know, but anyway. 50 years. And I've never seen God let me down. I gave up my job in industry, a great job in industry. Everybody said, that's all, your holiday's over and done with this, you know, it's all finished, you know, you're going to have to tighten your belt. Since then I travelled more than I ever travelled before. On less money. God opening doors. God making provision where there is none. I don't know how he does it. You know, I've got my maths qualifications and that, and God has a calculator that certainly don't work like any calculator I've ever met or tried to use. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, not mine. The wind's getting up by the sound of things. Hallelujah. Maybe it's the wind of the Spirit that said there was a mighty rushing wind. Huh? Glory to God. Maybe there'll be tongues of fire as well. Well, that would be an experience for us, wouldn't it? Praise his name. So we talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, and we talked about words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirit, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but all by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We talked about Romans 12, where there are different gifts of ministries there. And we need to begin to exercise these ministries and these giftings that God gives to us. You can't just receive a gift and then just not open it. You need to open it and to use it. Yeah? That's why gifts are given. They're given to be used. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, through to 24 it talks about the gifts of tongues and prophecy, and in verse 24 it says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart to disclose, so that he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly amongst you. These are the signs that the presence of God is amongst us. Just some of the signs. The fact that God is the healer. I hear people say to me today, oh, healing was for when the apostles were around, and when the last apostle died, that was it. No. That's not my walk for the last 50 odd years. I came to Christ through seeing signs, wonders and miracles. I saw deaf ears unstopped, blind eyes opened. And I said, Lord, I want to serve you. And I want to serve you, and I will never, ever deny the power of my God. He is the same.
Yes.
He's just looking for you and I to get involved.
Yes.
He wants your hands, he wants your feet, he wants your mouth.
Yes.
He wants you to take courage and to step out and say, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
I can do this.
Yes.
Because the Christ is in you.
Amen.
I can bring a word of wisdom. I can bring a word of knowledge.
Yes.
I can prophesy. Hello?
Amen.
Can you?
Yes.
I said last week, which is the best gift? Come on, Glennis. I can see you thinking on that one. I suddenly saw the light going, oh, yeah, I wonder what. Yeah. Which is the best gift? Oh, that's it. That's a cute answer, that one. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Quite profound truth in that. For instance, you know, much of my ministry historically has been in seeing people healed. But you know, if somebody needs a word of knowledge and a word of revelation, and I have just got the gift of healing, okay, sit down, Andrew. You're of no use. Yeah? The best gift is that which is needed at that point in time. They're all available. They're all available to you. Now, you might major in certain areas, but that does not count you out for all the others. Does it? I don't know what you, how you've been taught in the past, but for me, that don't count me out. Because if there is somebody in need and you're the only person around that is in touch with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, he's going to use you as he's going to use you. And if you're only functioning in healing and they want something more than that, you're going to have to step beyond that safety. You're going to have to step out of your security. I just pray for people and see them healed. Oh, I don't prophesy. I find it a challenge within our local church to sort of potentially prophesy into anybody's life. And one of the reasons I'm quite honest. One of the reasons for that is I usually know people quite well. So it's a challenge. Is that my mind? Or is it in here that I know it? It's a challenge. Yeah, I go somewhere else, don't know anybody. Next thing, boom, 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 boom. You're thinking, wow, well, what happened? You know? And you think, why didn't it happen at all? And I know why it didn't happen at all. You can get to know people so well. And so then you have a choice. You then say, do I share this because this is God or is this me? And that's a great challenge. Because I want God to speak. I want God to be heard. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to change your life. Because it's when the Holy Spirit speaks that lives are changed. Alicia over here, never met her before, years back, came to church. She's looking at radiator at the moment. And God, she came out for prayer and God just opened her up, something like that. Is that right, Alicia? Yep. God spoke to her. Because God needed to speak to her. God needed to meet a need. God needed to do and deal with something in her life. Oh, isn't that amazing? That the Creator of all things actually, for one moment, says, oh, I need to speak to this girl here.
Yeah.
And I need to use you.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, this is what God wants to do. But I've never done it before. That's great. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something for the first time? So we've got to start stepping out. You know, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against which of these things there is no law. You love people who you would never connect with. Why? Because there's a presence of the Holy Spirit. And He connects you to them. Because, as it was said earlier on, God is love. And His love is reaching out to this world today. I would say to you and remind you today that today, God looks through that sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He looks through that blood and looks at the world today and He sees the world saved. Yeah, but they're all sinners out there. They're all wicked people. Yeah, but the sacrifice, the price has been paid. The gift has been given. Open up the gift. The problem is the gift is given, but people are not opening it up. And so today I say to you that God looks at this world today and sees it saved. Because Jesus, when He died on that cross, He said, "It is finished. It is complete." The work that He set about to do to save all of mankind was finished on the cross. Now the gift is being given. Whether they receive Him, that is their choice. But we have got to go out giving the gift. We've got to go out being the gift givers. And I don't mean we go out taking little gifts wrapped up in wrapping paper. I mean, we've got to go out and give the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the power of God, and touch people's lives. People need a tangibility to be able to touch the hem of His garment. That lady, she spent everything she had. She was in desperate need. And she did something that she should not have done, was to enter into a crowd. Not to get anywhere close to anybody. No, she weren't close to anybody. She was on her hands and knees. She was groveling through the crowd of people. And she had one thing in mind, and that was simply just to touch the hem of His garment. And the moment that she touched the hem of His garment, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Can you imagine Simon, Peter, Andrew and John saying, "Oh, come on, Jesus, give us a break. Give us a break, for goodness sake. I mean, everybody's going around. As you're passing by, everybody's going doing this, you know. Everybody's touching you." He said, "Yeah, but somebody touched me. And there's a difference. There's a difference." There's a real reaching out and desire for the Christ. Today we need to carry that Christ-like image. When people see you, they need to look at you and say, there's something different about you. What is it? It is the Christ that resides within us. Why are you like what you are? It is because of Jesus. You might feel, well, I don't have words. I'm not good at witnessing. I'm not good at sharing. Begin to pray, Holy Spirit, begin to move and use me. Flow through me. Because you are to be empowered. Not just to speak in tongues, you are empowered. And we need to teach the church again, you have been empowered, now use that empowerment. Stir it up within you. We will see the churches being filled. We will see lives being changed. And more people receiving Christ as Lord and Saviour. We need to stir it up. See, for each and every one of us, the most important thing that we have to realise is it's not about just attending a church, but it is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. Bah, bah. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Sometimes, you know, years back I remember in one of the churches that we were in, there was one of the elders there. He would regularly stand up on a Sunday and he would prophesy. So I thought, well, being one of the older young people, I went up to him and I said, after service once, I said, tell me, how do you know when you've got a word of prophecy? And he always said to me, oh, you'll know. I'm like, that tells me absolutely diddly squat, doesn't it? You'll know. What will I know? How will I know? Give me an idea. Give me some pointers. I was hungry for God. I'm going to try an experiment on it, sir. Who's ever prophesied to anybody? Okay. Lovely, 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 lovely. That's great. Don't put your hands down. Keep them up. I need your help. Glory to Jesus. One example. How do you know when you've got a prophecy for somebody? Is my question.
I just think it's a feeling that you can't get away from.
Okay, so there you go. There's one. A feeling that you cannot get away from it sometimes. I can concur with that. Now, you know, I remember once God gave me a word one Sunday morning. I'd never prophesied in church. Just come back to mind this one. Never prophesied in church at all, or ever, in fact. God gave me a word one Sunday in church. And I said, there's no way. And what he gave me was not a nice word of prophecy, let me tell you. It was a bit of a, you know, come on, guy. And so it's like, no, I'm not saying that, God. I'm not doing it. And so I hung on to that all Sunday service and went home. Oh, then the pressure had gone. For the next few days, I went to work, did everything. Never had a thought of that, what God spoke to me about. Never gave it a second thought. The next Sunday I arrived in church and honestly, I literally went like this, boom, and there it was, straight away. I'm like, oh no. Mm-mm-mm. I said, God, we are not doing this, alright? There is, you know, I can get into the bad books quite easily. I'm the whipping boy, and it's like, I am not doing this. So, I thought, I stood you last time, God, I'll stand you this time. And then, when it came to the breaking of bread, they said, oh, Andrew, will you help serve at table? Okay, dealing with bread's okay, you know, when you've got the trembles and, you know, wrestling with God here, you know. And then you've got the cup of wine.
And you have to go around everybody with this cup. And when once you nearly dropped it on a lady, that was it. I said, okay, God, I will do it when I have finished this. And then all the trembling stopped, which allowed me to get to the back of the church where the door was. And it was at that point in time that I thought, I can share it now, and if it erupts, I can just straight out in the car. I'm gone, you know. And so I did it from the back of the church. Whew. Tell you what, it felt like a load was gone off me. Okay, who else? Give me an idea. What happens with you? Please.
It's exactly the same as you. You just know with such a certainty that you have to. You've got to get rid of the burden somehow. You just got to do it.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, no one can't say anything better than that.
Right, okay. I know you've got something different, haven't you?
Sometimes you get information, it's just like information that you don't know. You're like, I don't know this. Mm. And it feels like you've taken a massive risk and you're thinking, what if I get this wrong?
Yes.
And then you say it, and then the person turns around and goes, like, how do you know? Or, whoa, God knows. Or, and then it happens again, and you learn to trust that's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Sometimes taking a risk.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, there's one, this thing of the sensing of this pressure that's building. There's another way you receive words, and you're just like, sometimes you can be even with pictures where you see something in the spirit. I remember one instance where I was preaching in church, and honestly, literally, there was a lady sat on the front row, and I went up to the lady, and I just did that. And as soon as I did that, and immediately something flashed. And I knew in the presence of, and then suddenly the word of the Lord just came, and I just gave it to the person. Because you see, that's a very powerful place. That is, I remember one of my spiritual church fathers said to me, you know, when you go into a strange place, into a strange church, and you don't know anybody, he says, when you start worshipping God, don't worship God like this. Because when we're worshipping God, you know, we're connecting. Worship like this. You know what's in you is good. So you begin to worship like this. But if you're in a place where you know it, everything's good and right, because, I mean, I'll be honest, there's some places where I sometimes get people say, can I pray for you? And it's like, no way. Because you sense and know what spirit this person's on. I've had instances where I've had people literally walk by me and do this to me. And I've had to shake myself afterwards. Because there is a transfer. Because the Word of God says to Timothy, stir up that which has been given to you by the laying on of hands. You understand what I'm saying? And somebody can just come by and do that. And it's like, whoa. And that has happened more than once to me, and I've had to shake myself from it. You see, what you have to remember, each and every one of you, if you are wanting and are moving in the things of God, the devil wants to stop you. He wants to delay you. I don't want to delay you. I want to get you moving. I want to spur people on to begin to move in the things of the Spirit of God. Because it is important in this day and this generation. People are looking for truth. People are looking for real answers. And today, we are the ones who should have the answers. The government doesn't. The councils don't. They're all desperate. I even heard on the radio this week, even the hospitals now are in desperate need of new types of antibiotics, because it has got to such a point now
where these antibiotics we have got are not working. I know the greatest antibiotic that there has ever been thought of, and his name is Jesus. He saves, heals, delivers, and sets free and empowers. And I just want to encourage you that you will begin to realize that it's all about a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're flowing in the gifts of prophecy and whatever, it's because of, number one, the relationship that you have with the Christ. Is that not true? It has to be. Because that is where those things come from. So it comes out of a relationship that we have. And so, each and every one of us needs to deepen our relationship with the Lord. Lord, am I in your voice clearly? It's like a shortwave radio. And you've got the big dial. And you roughly get the signal, and then you use a little fine dial on the side and you fine tune until you hear it clearly. We need to fine tune our spirits that we hear clearly what the Holy Spirit is saying. Oh, sorry, should I say, what God the Father is saying is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. All the Holy Spirit does is comes and tells us what Father is saying in his throne room. Oh, we know the secrets of the throne room through the Holy Spirit. Because it says, God knows your very thoughts, that your heart, every intent that you have, God knows it. And so the only time we get to know it is when we hear what God is saying in the throne room, when the Holy Spirit delivers the message to us. And it is so important that we have this relationship. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. It's always about a closeness with God, knowing Him in such a wonderful way. And then the Holy Spirit will speak to us and give us direction, give us purpose. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Well, what is the Holy Spirit hearing? He's got to be hearing from God. He says, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Folks, we need to begin to listen to the Spirit. And some of you might say, well, I've never really heard God speak to me. I want you to hear. You might not have heard because you've never been encouraged. You see, you might have been told, oh, you're not good enough yet. You might have been told, well, it's only for the leaders. Or it's only for the worship group and a few select people in the church. No, it's not. It's for everybody. Let's get it right. It's for everybody. I want to pass on mantles to people. I want to see people empowered. Amen. You know, I can go on a mission trip, I preach my heart out, and then sit down and say, go on the team, get going. Amen. Let the presence and the power of God start going through you and moving, and just, you know, I want to receive people released. Because I believe that's the heart of God.